Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, in the last 15 months, it's definitely been a marathon, if you will, and it's been... How many of you are Zoom fatigued? Anyone Zoom fatigued? Okay, I'm there. This last 15 months, especially in the beginning days, we were, as a church staff, doing a ton of Zoom calls, hours upon hours upon hours. One meeting would lead to another Zoom meeting, which would lead to another Zoom meeting. Anyone else have that? Yeah. So we're all getting Zoom fatigued. And this one day, I remember I'm sitting in my basement on a Zoom call, and I am completely spaced out. Like, I'm in another world. And the meeting's going on. I have no idea what's going on in the meeting. Just a quick confession there. I have no idea what's going on in the meeting. And I look to the left of me, and my Bible's sitting there. And I have this intense desire to get into the Word, that I would stay close to the Word as we listen to the news and there's doctors' reports and there's politicians reporting and you get on Facebook and there's everyone has their opinion of what's going on in the world at this time. And there's these lies coming at you and this meme and that meme and, oh my goodness, what is going on in this world? It's complete chaos. And I turn to the left of me and I see my Bible and I'm like, I need to get into the Word. If I'm going to stay grounded in this time, I need to get close to the heart of Jesus. And as we continue our series called Ringside, in the book of 1 John, we are confronted with false teachers. And we are confronted with the Antichrist. And we are confronted with Antichrists. And there's lies going on. There's people falling away from the church, leaving the church. And John's call to the church in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of the lies, his call to the church is to abide in Jesus. And his call to the church is allow the message that they have heard about the person of Jesus to abide in them. And so I want to talk about the next section that we are in. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. It'll also be up on the screen as well. But let's jump into 1 John 2:18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. We are living in the last hour. When Jesus went up into heaven, we see this in Acts 1:11. Jesus ascends into heaven, and we are now in this period that we are waiting and longing for the return of Jesus. And it is called the last hour. And we have been in the last hour for 2,000 years. And the Christians, the early Christians, anticipated the return of Christ, and so they called it the last hour. And we too, like them, are in the last hour. John continues on and he says, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Now, right from the outset here, we are confronted with the topic, this idea of Antichrist. This topic has a ton of baggage around it. A lot of movies have been made about this. A lot of book series have been made around this topic. Anyone heard of the Left Behind series? Yeah. Definitely watched the Left Behind series growing up. Also, I remember as a young child, I was interested in these things. And so I went to my church library, and they had the movie Revelation in there. And so I got it, and I watched it. I think I was 14 or 15 years old. And I kid you not, I lived about a year of my life in extreme fear because of this crazy movie. One word of caution, please do not get your end time theology from the Left Behind series or the movie Revelation or any of the books that have been written around this. Please get it from the Word of God, okay? So we're confronted with this idea or this topic of the Antichrist. And so the Bible isn't super clear about the Antichrist, but we do know a few things. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, we are told that it will be this person will be a coming prince. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul discusses the man of lawlessness, or the son of destruction. And this individual will oppose God. He will exalt himself against every so-called God or object of worship, and he will proclaim to be God. He will be a false prophet. He will embody evil, and he will set himself up against the person of Jesus Christ. And he is essentially evil embodied. He is a worker of Satan. And there's also this idea there's a spirit of the Antichrist as well. It's a spirit of the age or a way of thinking or a philosophy. And so that's about all we know. There might be a few more references to it. John's the only one actually who calls him Antichrist. But the Bible discusses this individual not so that we would try and figure out who this individual might be, you know, the president of the United States or the president of Russia or some world leader. We're not to try and figure out who this individual would be, but we are told about him in order that we would know and be warned of what he would do. He will be a deceiver. He will be one who draws people away from Jesus. And the main point here in this passage actually isn't even the Antichrist himself. If you see here, John says, as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, he says, so now many antichrists have come. So he's talking about the specific situation that they know that they're in the last hour because there are many antichrists there now. And so we continue on in verse 19. John says this. He says, they went out from us, but were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. John here is speaking of the antichrists, those individuals who were deceived and were deceiving others. They had gone out, and this was to prove that they were not of Jesus. And John is writing to affirm that those that he is writing to are the ones who have been kept by Jesus. If you skip down to verse 22, John reveals a little bit more about who these individuals are. So verse 22 says this, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Those who would deny the person of Jesus Christ, they are the antichrists. The message that was going around that was Jesus Christ was not who the Christians were claiming him to be, that he was not fully God and fully man. Those who confess the true identity of Jesus are the ones who have fellowship with God. They can walk in relationship with Jesus. And we live in a day and age where truth really is whatever we want it to be. When so many say and think, oh, there's so many ways to God. Jesus, you know, he was a good man. He was a historic figure. He did good things. He had great teaching. I mean, have you ever heard the Sermon on the Mount? It was one of the best teachings ever given. The problem is that John makes it very clear Jesus is the only way to have fellowship with God. Confessing and believing the truth, the true identity about Jesus, is the only way to walk in fellowship with God. He says that those who deny the Son cannot have the Father. So the reason why these false teachers are so incredibly deceptive is because that when people are deceiving others, it's never really in big, bold letters, look, we're declaring Jesus not to be the risen Christ. We're declaring that he is not human. It's not these big, bold things. It's in the subtleties of why false teaching is so deceptive. Daniel Aiken says, the spirit of Antichrist is never directly opposed to Jesus. They redefine him. He is good, they say, but he is not God. He may be a son of God, like we can be sons and daughters of God, they teach, but he is not the Son of God. He may have died on the cross as a martyr, they affirm, but he did not die as the Savior. The spirit of Antichrist always diminishes the person and work of Jesus Christ. Church, we cannot have fellowship with God. We cannot have fellowship with one another in Christ unless we confess the true identity of who Jesus is. Before moving on, I want to make one quick point about John 2, verse 20. So if you look to John 2, verse 20, John says this. He says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. The New Testament writers are extremely clear that we, as true believers in Christ, have the Spirit of God in us, that we have been marked by the presence of the Spirit. Ezekiel 36, 27 says this, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. We have the Spirit of God. We have the anointing of Christ Jesus within us. The Holy Spirit is the key who would keep us from the deception and lies of the false teachers. He is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who would give discernment, the one who would give wisdom. He is the one when we hear inconsistencies about the person of Jesus, that a light would go off in our heads saying, this is not true. This is not the true Christ. As we continue on in the text, verse 24 through 29, John is going to begin to use this word abide. And it's going to become an important word for the church. It's a repeated word and an important word, and this word abide means to remain in, to continue in, to dwell in. And I think John's overarching theme of his entire book or his entire letter goes well with this word abide. His theme for the letter is to have fellowship with God. And if we're going to have fellowship with God, we must abide in Jesus. And so verse 24 and 25 said this, "Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he made to us, eternal life." What was the message that they were to have abide in them? The message that they had heard from the beginning that they were supposed to have abiding within them. If you look back, we've actually already talked about this. We've discussed it. Mike took us through it in the very first week. It's the message from the beginning. John chapter 1, that which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was made manifest. And we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. God sent his Son to earth to be born of a virgin, to grow up into a young man, to have a ministry, to call his 12 disciples, to go out into the world and proclaim the good news, to die on the cross, to be raised again. This was the message that they had heard from the beginning, that God had sent his Son and he came in the flesh. This was the word that they, about who Jesus is, that they were to have abiding in them. John's exhortation to the church is that they have the truth about Christ remain in them, that it would dwell in them, that according to Paul in Colossians 3:16, that the word of Christ would dwell in them richly. And in John chapter 2, verse 27, John continues on and he says this, "But the anointing, that is the Holy Spirit, that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." Who is the Holy Spirit? The one abiding in us. John in chapter 15, his gospel, he says this, "But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." The Spirit of truth that is living in us, the one who came from the Father, abides in us and teaches us who Jesus is. Listen to this, John 16, verse 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." One of the primary roles of the person of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to us about the person of Jesus. He is the one who will keep us in line with the truth about who Jesus is. He will bear witness to him. And John is confident of this. Who is Jesus? Jesus is fully 100% God. Jesus is fully 100% human, who is able to identify with us in our struggles. That's why we call him the Son of Man. He was born of a virgin. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one who brings hope. He is the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He is the one who takes our place on the cross. He is the one who breaks the power of sin. He is the one who's coming again for his church. He is the great miracle worker. Jesus is the wonder-working God. He is the great physician. He is the healer. He is the one who restores all things. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who takes things that are broken and shattered, and he makes them beautiful. And at the mention of his name, all darkness trembles and flees. He is the one who, according to Colossians chapter 1, holds all things together by the power of his word. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one who walks with us day to day in the in-between while we are waiting for Christ's return. The Holy Spirit is walking with us. Jesus in the Spirit. He is the one who calls the prodigals home. He is the one who comforts the outcasts. He is the one who weeps over the injustices of this world, the things that we as the church should be weeping over that we saw take place this week. Jesus is the one who weeps over these injustices, over the evil in the world. He is completely good in all he does. Jesus is completely just in everything that he does. Everything that Jesus does flows from his perfect and incomprehensible love. He is the one who has the power to raise the dead. This is who Jesus is, and his Spirit bears witness to him. This is who Jesus is, and his Spirit bears witness to him. What we think about Jesus matters and has eternal consequences. Who we declare Jesus to be, who the church declares Jesus to be, will allow us to walk in fellowship with God. Abiding in Jesus is what will hold us in the midst of a world filled with false ideas of Jesus. Let me say that again. Abiding in Jesus is what will hold us in the midst of a world filled with false ideas of Jesus. John is exhorting the church. John is exhorting us that we would abide in him, that he would abide in us, that the truth about Jesus would abide in us so that we would be kept to the end, that we would not be deceived by the ideas of this world, the ideologies of this world, the false teachings of who Jesus is. Yeah, he's just a good guy. He's got some great sermons. He's got some great teaching. No, Jesus is 100% God. He is 100% man, and he is coming back for his church. John, 1 John 2:28 says this, "And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming." Abide in him so that when he comes, you would be confident. All right. How can we abide in a day and age when there are lies coming at us from every angle, when we are constantly inundated with information, when many would say there is, we can, when many would say, However you think you can get to God, that's how you can get to God. How can we live in this world abiding in Jesus? How can we have the truth of him abiding in us? First, I believe this is obvious. We must stand on a firm foundation, the Word of God. Harriet Beecher says this, "Being still before God allows the Lord to speak to us through his Word, which is alive and active and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." This Word of God is actually written by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has inspired men to write the Word of God. And so how can we stand on the truth of who Jesus is? We can hide the Word of God in our heart. A few verses that I want to encourage you to meditate on, to hide the truth of who Jesus is in your heart. Philippians 2, 11 through 1. Colossians 1, 15 through 23. Isaiah 53. And how about the entire book of Hebrews? We need to be children of the Word. We need to be students of the Word. We need to have it written on our hearts, that we would have the truth about Christ abiding in us. Secondly, we need to spend time communing with the Holy Spirit. This past year, last fall, we did a whole entire series on hearing God's voice. We need to practice hearing his voice, listening to him, so that we would know his promptings. We need to throw up little prayers all day long, communing with the Holy Spirit, listening to him. There was a monk in the 16th century. His name was Brother Lawrence, and he continually abided in Christ all day long. He's known for a little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And even when he was chopping up vegetables in his kitchen for the other monks, he would, as soon as a thought would veer from meditating on the person of God, he would quickly bring back his thoughts to Jesus. We need to have God continually on our mind. We need to continue commune with the Spirit. Thirdly, we need the church community. I'm not going to be ashamed to say this. We need the church to gather. We need to gather together as believers and encourage one another. We need to exhort one another. We need to fellowship with one another in order that we would be kept in Christ. Amen? Amen. In a couple minutes, Mike is going to come and lead us in communion. Communion is another way that we can abide in Christ, that we can walk with him. And it's something that, this might be a newsflash, we do not have to wait till the first Sunday of every month to take communion, okay? We can take communion by ourselves whenever we want. We can take communion with our small group. We can take communion with one other individual. And communion is incredibly powerful. Growing up in the church, I kind of thought it was just, it's a thing we do at church, okay? Communion declares the person of Jesus Christ. When we take communion, we are declaring who Jesus is. He is the bread. He is the cup. And the bread represents his body that he gave on the cross for us. That when he came to earth, he was 100% man. And he lived and moved and breathed among us. And he gave his physical body for us. And his blood shed for us. Okay, we are declaring that God was fully human and he was fully man when we take communion. And we are abiding in the truth of who Jesus is. And lastly, baptism. How can we abide in Christ? We need to be baptized. If you have never been baptized, I would encourage you to take a step of faith in your journey of walking with Jesus to declare who Jesus is in your life. Baptism declares that we are our old man goes under the water and dies with Christ in his death. And when we come up, we are made new into a new creation, that we would identify with Christ in his resurrection. We identify with Christ in his death, and we identify with Christ in his resurrection. And these are all different things that we can do to declare who the person of Jesus is. I believe we are in. Why don't you stand together, and we're gonna continue to worship and declare who Jesus is. But I believe we are in a day and age. We are in a day and age, and there is a day coming that actually many will fall away from Christ and from his church. And they will be deceived by the spirit of Antichrist. They will be deceived by the philosophies of our day, that Jesus isn't who he is. I've heard many stories of just recently of people who have fallen away from the faith. And so as we continue to worship, Would you take the call of John to abide in Christ, to allow the truth about who Christ is to abide in you? Let's continue to declare the person of Jesus. God, we declare this morning that you are a good God and that you are one who came in the flesh. And you lived and moved and breathed and grew up as a child on this earth. And you went to the cross, you gave your life, and you rose again, being 100% man and 100% God. And we declare that this morning. And we cling to those truths about who you are. And we love you, Jesus. Amen.